This lesson this morning has so many scriptures that you may notice in your bulletin that I not only have the outline of the lesson inside, but on the back cover is a little chart comparing the two kingdoms. We just sang the song, I Love Your Kingdom, God. You realize you're part of a kingdom? No matter who you are, no matter what you believe, you're part of a kingdom. And all of us have dual citizenship. We're not talking about America in this discussion. We're not comparing American citizenship with something else. We're comparing the two kingdoms that exist on this planet. The kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of Satan. You are either part of Christ's kingdom, which we just sang together, or you're part of Satan's kingdom. You say, well, isn't there another choice? I don't want any part of any kingdom. No, there's no other choice because it's life and death. Jesus said this in Matthew 12 and verse 30, he who is not with me is against me. Wow, that's pretty absolute, isn't it? He who does not gather with me scatters. Earlier in that chapter, Jesus says, if Satan drives out Satan, he's divided against himself. How can his kingdom stand? There will always be conflict in Satan's kingdom. Because selfishness always causes conflict. It's not always going to be that way. Again in Matthew 12, this time in verse 41, Jesus says, the Son of Man will send out his angels and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And if that sounds mysterious, I hope we can clarify it this morning. In John 18, verse 38, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is from another place. Well, that sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? Some extraterrestrial or what? Ephesians 6, 12 and Ephesians 3, 10 tell us more. We'll get to that a little bit later. What I'd like for us to do for a moment today is to compare the two kingdoms. Jesus is a king. In John 18 and verse 37, when Jesus was dealing with Pilate, and Pilate said, well, are you a king? And Jesus said, yeah, you're right. I am a king. In John 12 and verse 31, Jesus puts a name on the alternative. He talked about the prince of this world being driven out. In John 14 and verse 30, we're told the prince of this world is coming. In John 16 and verse 11, the prince of this world now stands condemned. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, we read, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Isn't that an interesting statement? And if you'll think about it for a minute, you know that's true. It goes on and says, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I suggest to you that most people in today's world are blinded. They're blinded to the gospel. They're blinded to the glory of Christ. They do not comprehend the spiritual. And as a result of that, they're part of Satan's kingdom. I'd like to point out six things this morning that I hope will help you comprehend a little better what it means to be a part of Jesus' kingdom and of the alternative. And I realize, you know, some of you may in your heart think, boy, that's awfully absolute. Yeah? I mean, if you think about it, what we're talking about this morning doesn't have much middle ground. He that is not with me is against me. That's pretty clear. And part of the reason people end up against Christ is they don't understand Christ. They don't understand the spiritual. Maybe some of the characteristics will help us. If we're part of the kingdom, we need to know more about it. And if we're not part of the kingdom, we need to realize what we're not doing, what we're not being a part of. My first point is that Jesus' kingdom is based on truth. John 18, verse 37, Jesus says, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. And for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." I don't know whether this happens to you or not, but a lot of times I think I'm a what I might call an inert Christian. Because a lot of times I hear somebody say something in a class. Richard has said things like this. Carl has said things like this. I hear it sometimes in listening to other preachers. And I'll say to myself, "Yeah, that's right. I hadn't thought about that." You know, one of the reasons I love to preach in churches that are black churches made up primarily of Afro-Americans, is because they always vocally let me know if I am testifying to the truth. And that may upset some of you white guys' equilibrium. You may not be used to that, and it may sound a little strange to you, but I remember the first time I heard, "That's right, brother! Speak on, brother! Amen, brother!" I remember Phyllis was with me one time when that happened, and I looked at her, and she was like this, you know. It was so alien to her. And yet, what a wonderful thing to know that the truth, the thing that we've just talked about, somehow has meaning to them enough for them to vocally say, "Yes, amen. I need that." The Bible says Satan is the father of lies. Listen to John 8:44. "You belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is the father of lies." The world is full of lies. You want to hear some lies? Turn on your television set. You want to hear some lies? Listen to the news. One of the things that's just amazing to me is, and Cindy and I have talked about this a lot, when you turn on the news, you have to decide which news channel you're going to listen to. You're going to listen to the news channel that's primarily pro-Republican, pro-Donald Trump, pro... Or you're going to listen to the alternative, the thing that's anti-Donald Trump. And it's extremely difficult to just get the news, because we are bombarded with lies. I just don't listen to news very much because I know about half of what they're saying just isn't true. They're expressing their personal opinion. I don't like to go shopping, especially for a major purchase, because salespeople lie. I don't really think I need to belabor that point, do I? I swear, I said one time, I think contractors and airline managers, bookers, go to the same school, right, Gary, where they teach them how to lie? They look at you and say, well, yeah, we got a little problem here, but we can take care of that. Well, flight will take off in 10 minutes, and then 2 hours later, you're still sitting there. And they knew you were going to be sitting there. If you fly as much as Gary and I have flown over and over and over, you catch them because they say something you know isn't true. They know isn't true. And I could go on and on. The world is full of lies. And that is something you don't experience in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I love coming here. I love coming here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, because I'm going to be dealing with people I know are telling the truth. They may be wrong, but they're telling the truth the best they know it. And that simply doesn't happen. And unfortunately, a lot of folks don't have truth in their marriage. They don't have truth in dealing with their kids. The second point I'd like to make is that the subject of Jesus' kingdom are called out of darkness. Colossians 1 verse 13 says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And 2 Peter 2, beginning with verse 10, describes the darkness. Listen to this. This is especially true to those who follow the corrupt desires of the sinful nature and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. These men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes revealing in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed. These men are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. That's the definition of darkness. And I tell you, the world today is a world of darkness. The entertainment business has become more and more a world of darkness. And if you don't believe that, just look right across the street. Turn on your television set. Go to your local movie theater. See what you see espoused. And then go back and read that passage in 2 Peter. I don't like to go to movies because I know it's going to present stuff that just simply violates my beliefs as a Christian. And you say, well, it's fantasy. Okay, it still violates my concepts of what God would have us think about and know. And I'm a little, I guess because of my history, I get I'm a little sensitive about it. The third point I want to make is that the subject of Jesus' kingdom are those in the church. The word church means the called out. Called out of what? It's not a building. This structure is not the church. The church doesn't have the weaknesses this building has. Nobody's going to turn off my water. First John 3 and verse 10 says, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. And then it talks about the things that people separate themselves from. Ephesians 2 and verse 19 tells us the church is made up of fellow citizens in God's with God's people. Personal relationships. Galatians 3, beginning with verse 26, says, you are all sons of God. All of us, See, there's no sexual concept here. You say, well, how do you know that? Keep reading. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. See, prejudice is a part of Satan's kingdom. Racial hatred is a part of Satan's kingdom. Jesus' kingdom should have none of those. You say, well, I know there have been churches that wouldn't allow black people in. Yeah, I know. I lived with that for a while. And I tell you, they had almost no connection to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Sitting in the hen house doesn't make you a hen. And sitting in a church building doesn't make you a part of God's kingdom. Satan's citizens are the wicked of the world. And 1 John 5, beginning with verse 19, says, we can know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. I don't know how you can live on planet Earth, especially today, when media brings all of the stuff that's happening everywhere right into our living room, and not believe that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. No wonder our kids are struggling. No wonder we find it difficult to get people to come to be taught the Word of God. Because the subjects of the kingdom are those who are in the church. And I want to emphasize that Christ's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom and that it is at war. Remember John 18, verse 36, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. There is a complete dichotomy. There is a complete separation of the kingdom of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of Satan, which is everything that's out there. Ephesians 6 and verse 12 tells us what's happening. For our struggle, my struggle, your struggle, is not against flesh and blood. That's not the issue. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. There's a war going on. And Christ's kingdom is one side and Satan's kingdom is the other. My fourth point is that Christ's kingdom is made up of the forgiven. Christ's kingdom citizens are not guilt-ridden. You say, well, how can that be? We all make mistakes. Yeah, I know that. I struggle with this point. But Colossians 1 and verse 13 says, for he, referring to Christ, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. How do I live with myself? How do I live with my past? And those of you that know me know I have struggled with living with my past. It is just very hard for me to believe that God can forgive me. And yet Scripture tells me that the blood of Christ continually cleanses me from sin. 1 John 1 verse 5. And Jesus said, I read this passage to you a moment ago, that there is going to be a time when the wicked will be weeded out. Matthew 13, verse 41, the Son of Man will send out his angels and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Did you notice there's two kinds of people that are going to be weeded out? those who cause sin. We need to be careful that we're not part of causing others to be trapped in the evils of this world. We cannot endorse those things that bring people to destruction. And of course, those who sin are also evil. Point number five, Christ's kingdom is made up of those who serve, those who find fulfillment in serving. You remember the judgment scene in Matthew 25? Jesus is talking about those that are going to be saved. And starting with verse 34, the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." God planned a long way back for people to choose to be a part of his kingdom. And what's the criterion? "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then he turns around and talks about the kingdom of Satan, when none of those things were done, because none in Satan's kingdom serve. In Revelation 2 and in verse 9 is an interesting passage. The Bible says, "I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan." Let me ask you something. What was the synagogue? A synagogue was a place under the old law where people who couldn't get to the temple would come and be taught, come and be encouraged, come and be given the strength to live as they should live. So what's the synagogue of Satan? Same thing. In the negative. To be taught not what to do. Not what to do, but what not to do. So don't serve. Don't spend your money helping people. And so forth. Encouraging people to pursue evil. And unfortunately, the synagogue of Satan in our day and time includes a lot of the entertainment industry. There are books that are written. They're part of the synagogue of Satan. Pornography is a part of the synagogue of Satan. Christ's kingdom is made up not only of those who do not participate in all those destructive things, but those who serve. And finally, Christ's kingdom is made up of those who have a new birth. In John 3, beginning with verse 3, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And you'll remember that that statement was made to Nicodemus back very early in Christ's ministry. Jesus went on in that passage and said, "Unless a man is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So there's a physical thing, born of the water, and there's a spiritual thing, enter the spiritual kingdom. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. See, he's laying out the separation of the two kingdoms. Why are people afraid of the new birth? You know, Romans 6 talks about having a new birth. And that scares people to death. Why? Because they don't want to change. Change is scary. You don't believe that? Just think about your own life. How many things have happened that are new in your 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years of life. I heard a man say one time, yeah, I've seen a lot of changes in the church and I've been opposed to every one of them. Well, fact of the matter is they weren't all bad. Some of them were really good. Those who reject God are a part of Satan's kingdom. In Acts 26, beginning with verse 27, Paul had taught to a man about becoming a Christian, and the man's response, because he was a government official, is, do you think in such a short time you can convince me to become a Christian? This was a ruler. This guy had a lot of authority. He had political power. And he said, you can't convince me to give all that up in a short time. Ephesians 3, beginning with verse 10, tells us about the purpose of the church. God's intent was now, through Christ Jesus, that the manifest wisdom of God may be known according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's the purpose? To establish a victory over the war with Satan, to defeat Satan's kingdom. Listen carefully to these passages. You've heard them before. Talking about when the battle is over. John says in Revelation 21, starting with verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was never any more sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. He will live with them. They will be His people. God Himself will be with them, and will be their God. And then listen to what the kingdom of Christ will be about. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And He who was seated on the throne said, behold, I make everything new. Then He said, write this down. For these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And he who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. See, the war will be over. Christ's kingdom will have defeated Satan's kingdom. And then in verse 20, chapter 22, starting with verse 1, we see a picture of what that place will be like. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river, stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. That is the ultimate lot of those who are part of Christ's kingdom. Back to Revelation 21, verse 8.
But the cowardly and the unbelieving and the vile and the murderers and the sexual immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. What kingdom are you a part of? And if you're part of Christ's kingdom, do you understand what a beautiful kingdom that is? And what wonderful blessings come from it? And don't you want to be with people who embrace the things we have studied in this lesson? I don't think any rational human being wants to be a part of Satan's kingdom if they really stop, sit down, and think about it. But Satan has blinded the minds of many, and they do not understand the choice they are making. I don't know how God's going to handle the in-betweens, those who refuse to obey the principles that God has given us as far as their actions are concerned, and yet still seem to express belief in God and do good things. That's not my job. But it is my job and it is my desire to do everything I can to be a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And I urge you to be the same. If you are subject to the invitation of Christ, if there's any way we can pray with you or help you in any way to be restored back to the kingdom that God wants you to be a part of, that God planned from you before the beginning, we invite you to come and express that need. As together we stand and sing to encourage you, won't you please come? Let's sing together.